Our first scripture reading this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, and it describes the full armor of God. And we're going to speak about that this morning. So let us turn to His holy word and read what we need to know. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here ends the first reading of God's holy word this morning. Amen and glory to His name. Now, this is going to be a brief overview. I'm going to give you an overview of the full armor of God. Pastor Rich, starting next week, will delve into each piece of that armor in more detail. There is a lot here for us to learn as Christians. And you must be a Christian. You must be saved by the washing of Christ's blood in you and have a new spirit, a new heart, in order to put on the full armor of God. For He has made it complete for our edification. In the last three sermons Pastor Rich has delivered to us, we now pull from them into a focal point for our edification. Now, the last three sermons he preached, I have the the titles here. The first one was "Be Wise." Okay, the second was "Awake, O Sleeper." And the third one was "Be Imitators of God." So let us kind of overview a little bit. That's what brings us into why we need the full armor of God. Be wise. By looking around at what's going on in our world, Satan is attacking every institution around us. What are we to do? Fight. But what do we fight? What do we fight? This second one was "Awake, O Sleeper." Open your eyes and arise from the dreamlike reality you have allowed yourself to be placed into by the lies and deception propagated by Satan. If you look around our world, there is all kinds of pernicious lies that are constantly being bombarded at us, thrown at us. You know, you need to be like this, you need to be like that. You don't want to be like those stuffy Christians. You don't want to do this. You want to be able to figure out morality for yourself. And I remember talking, having a sermon a couple of weeks ago on morality. If you try and produce a morality and a set of rules just for yourself, okay, you're going to fail. And we can see in our culture that there is so many people just doing whatever they feel like doing. I mean, look what's going on in the news right now. There are people who are protesting the death of that gentleman, okay, where the police put his knee on his neck, okay, and that was wrong to do. Those police officers need to be held accountable. But to go and riot and destroy people's businesses and just busting stuff up because you feel like, you know, well, you're mad. Well, that's a totally different morality that's in your own mind. You're destroying stuff for no reason. If you say it's for the gentleman that passed away, that was murdered, okay, he was killed, but that doesn't give you the right to destroy other people's property. I mean, it's just this craziness out there. You know, and So awake and look at all the stuff that's going on around us. It doesn't make sense. We are in a battle against good and evil, light and darkness, holiness and debauchery, righteousness and unrighteousness. Where do you stand in that battle? Finally, the last sermon that Pastor preached on, be imitators of God. God does battle against the forces that are arrayed against him. And since we are children of God, we need to be in that battle. So, but how do you get into this battle? And what do you need to be a warrior for Christ? Now we're going to get into this. What the full armor of God is for, the purpose of it. Like I said, we're going to touch on it very lightly this sermon, and then Pastor's going to have a sermon series, and we're going to look at each piece of the armor and what it does for us. But I'm going to give you a light overview. King Jesus has given us the spiritual military weapons to fight with. The first one was gird your loins with truth. Pontius Pilate, when he was talking to Jesus at his trial, he said, "What is truth? What is truth?" Jesus said, in John chapter 14, verse 6, as we turn there, he explained what truth is. I'm going there right now. Jesus has said to his disciples, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, but through me." If we look at truth, now our culture and a lot of our colleges and stuff, they teach philosophy and say there is no absolute truth. All right, well, if there's no absolute truth, what do you base truth on? How do you know truth when you see it? There can only be one truth. Everything else is a lie except that one truth. So when we look at truth, we say, where do we find truth? Well, I'm telling you, the only place you can find truth, real truth, that will change your life is found in these words. Now, there's many people saying that this Bible is corrupt, that it doesn't have truth. It's just a bunch of old, dusty sayings that don't mean anything for the modern time. Well, I want to tell you that most of our law here in the United States, the most of the law that was written in England, the Magna Carta, was based on God's truth in the Ten Commandments, which I'm not going to go there today, but look them up for yourself. Truth is found in God, for he is our creator. So gird your loins with truth. Be sure that you have that belt of truth on you. That's the first part of our armor. Then it says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, which we'll be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But the breastplate of righteousness, what is righteousness? I mean, there's a lot of people out there that feel right about what they're doing, and they're doing terrible things to other people. They just feel, this is right for me. I'm going to do this. Okay, but what is righteousness? As we turn to 2 Corinthians verse 5, in the 21st verse, chapter 5 in the 21st verse, we read, "And he made him who knew no sin, that is our Lord Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So we're getting our righteousness from Christ Jesus. Thank God for that, because Dave Webster here does not have a lot of righteousness. In fact, I have none. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just as you all are out there who are saved, who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So Jesus imparts to us his righteousness, which when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our sinfulness. He sees Christ's righteousness put on us like a robe, completely covering us with his righteousness. The next piece of our armor is to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To shod your feet means to put on a pair of shoes. Now, this whole part of armor and stuff was taken from what you would find in the Roman legions at the time, okay? They would be shod with very sturdy leather sandals, okay? So then they were fighting, they weren't stepping on sharp stones and having to worry about, you know, damaging their feet or hurting their feet while they were fighting. So here it says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. So what is the gospel? For most of us watching here today, if you're a Christian, you know the gospel is the good news that Jesus brought to us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. This is the good news. The proclaiming of good tidings, the teaching of men of how to avail themselves of the offer of salvation. And it is an offer. God offers salvation to you. So to shod your feet with the preparation to bring the gospel is to prepare yourself to tell someone of that good news. So that's part of the armor. And happy feet that walk, run, stride to give that good news to a lost soul somewhere in this world. And that's what we're to do as Christians. So it's part of the armor that we put on. The next piece is to take up the shield of faith. Now, a Roman soldier would have a very large shield. It would be a leather-type shield with wood pieces in it and stuff. And he would take that shield, and it says here in Ephesians where we were, I got to go back to Ephesians here for a second, because it tells us something about the shield. It says in verse 16, it says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, Satan is constantly shooting arrows at you, flaming arrows. And what they are thoughts and ideas. Do you ever have a thought come into your mind or something to do something really wicked, bad? It was probably an arrow shot from one of Satan's emissaries into your mind. He places thoughts in your mind. Hey, try doing this. This might be fun, right? Sin always looks fun. Until you're into it down the road so far, and then it turns into a mess, and you get hurt. So they would take their shields, so the army, the soldiers, and if they had any indication that the enemy would be shooting flaming arrows at them, they would dip their shields in water and let them soak up that water. And then when they had the shields out and the flaming arrows came, they hit the shield, and the flaming arrows would go out, and they would be protecting themselves. Now it says, take up the shield of faith. What is faith? I mean, we talk about faith all the time. I have faith in the Lord. But what is faith? Faith is a result of teaching. It's the result of teaching. Knowledge is an essential element of all faith and is sometimes spoken of as an equivalent to faith. Yet the two are distinguished in this respect, that faith includes in its assent, which is an act of the will in addition to the act of understanding. Okay? Faith takes knowledge. All right? Faith takes knowledge. And the knowledge we have is that Jesus died for us. He took all our sin away. We're now a new creature. Okay? That's knowledge. Then the act of having faith on that knowledge gives us strength. That's what we're using our faith for, okay? I didn't personally see Jesus die for me, okay? I wasn't there at the crucifixion. I can only read it in the scriptures, the accounts that the men that were there wrote down for me to read. But when I take in that knowledge, when I look at the scriptures and I read that Christ died for me, and then I place my faith in that knowledge, it helps to change who I really am. By the washing of the blood, I've gotten a new spirit, a spirit that is in tune with God, not only in tune with God, but the Holy Spirit was placed into me when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit dwells in me, and He helps me. And I put my faith in Him that He's going to help me. So we take that shield of faith, which is enormous. We take that shield of faith, and when your faith is strong, okay, because of the knowledge that you have from the Scriptures, and you read this, and you say, that's truth, I want that truth, and we know it's truth, and we take it, and we go head knowledge, and then we appropriate it to our heart, and we produce a faith, and say, okay, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to live on that. I'm going to orchestrate my life in such a way that I'm going to bring honor to my Father God, to my Lord and Savior Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, my helper, who lives inside of me. That is exercising my faith. And your faith only really gets exercised real well when you're in a lot of trouble. When things are going bad in your life, when things are happening that you have no control over, exercise that faith. It's like a muscle. You just keep exercising and it gets stronger and stronger. You keep reading the Scriptures. You keep putting that knowledge into your head and into your heart. And you live a life of faith, pertaining to that knowledge and that truth that we find in the Scriptures. We come to the helmet of salvation. Now, Roman soldiers had ornate helmets that they put on and it covered down to the sides here, you know, on the neck, and it covered the face somewhat of the mouth area, but it left a place open for the eyes, a place open so that you can breathe. The helmet was designed to ward off glances. If you're in a battle, in a fight, and someone goes to go to punch you, you know what I mean? They're going to hit the helmet, all right? If a sword was swung at you and you kind of dodge and it glances off your helmet, there's no damage. You don't get your head split open, that sort of thing. But the helmet of salvation is so important. The helmet of salvation. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And there we read about salvation. There we go. In verse 21, and this is the end of Peter's sermon that he was preaching on that first day of Pentecost, which today is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they went out and started preaching. And Peter had a sermon for the people that were around the temple. And in the end, he says, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It is that easy. You call upon the Lord Jesus' name. Say, "Jesus, save me." Once that occurs, once that happens, and you take that knowledge that you have been saved, and by faith, you know I'm saved. You know you're saved. And no matter what happens in your life, you know that your eternal spiritual life is placed in Jesus' hands. So whatever happens in this world to your physical, okay, to your physical, it doesn't really matter. Because you know on the day that you take your last breath, the day that your heart beats one last time, in that very moment, you go home to the Lord Jesus. You have salvation. He is holding the most precious thing that you have. I mean, you could have grandiose houses. You could have vehicles. You could have money in the bank. But the day that your heart beats its last beat, all that stuff means nothing. It means nothing. So what you count as precious in this world is dust and rust. The most precious thing you have is your eternal soul. And I say to you today, where is that eternal soul going on the day you take your last breath? Do you know? Do you have salvation? So part of the The armor that we put on is the helmet of salvation. We know that as Christian warriors. We're putting on this armor. We're getting ready to do battle. Okay? We've got our feet, our shoes on our feet, our belt, our shield. Now we have our helmet of salvation to cover the mind. In your salvation, all your thoughts are now controlled by that one thought of, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved for eternity. The word used for the deliverance of Israel from the Egyptians, way back in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31, and deliverance generally from evil or danger. In the New Testament, it's especially used with a reference to the great deliverance from guilt and from the pollution of sin wrought out by Jesus Christ. The great salvation that Jesus brought to us in His dying on that cross. You could sit for a whole lifetime and ponder the ramifications of what He did there. It was cosmic. It was earthly. It was beyond anything anybody could think of. And believe me, Satan thought he had won. When Jesus took his last breath, when he said, "It is finished," and he offered up his soul to his Father, and they ran that spear into his side, into his heart, Satan was rejoicing. All the demons in hell were rejoicing. We won! We did it! And they placed him in a tomb, and I bet you Satan and his demons were partying. You know what I mean? Party hardy! They're having a great time! Until that Sunday morning, when that rock was thrown away from the entrance and Christ walked out of that tomb alive, Satan knew he was defeated. And his time is short. And if you look around at what's going on in this world, he's building his kingdom. He's getting ready to take as many souls as he can into hell with him. And you poor people out there are listening to him, or you certain people say, that, well, there is no God, there is no devil, there's no afterlife, there's no spiritual anything. You've been blinded. You've been hoodwinked. You've been fooled. You've been lied to. If you want to find out more, come to the Heart of Christ Church, or find a church that teaches from this Bible, a pastor that reads and teaches from a Bible, and at least look at it before it's too late. The great salvation. We wear it as a helmet. Finally, the last piece of this armor is the sword. The Spirit, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It all rolls back to this word. I want you to think of what the sword actually is, what the Word of God actually is. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 14, verse 12, it describes this sword. I'm going to turn right there and get to that. There we are. Chapter 4, verse 12. It describes, and this is Paul talking to the Hebrews in his letter to the Hebrews. In chapter 12, he says, or verse 12, he says, I'm sorry, "For the word of God is a living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Word of God is that powerful. And that's why they describe it in the full armor of God as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, the Romans would have a short sword. It wouldn't be these real long swords like you had in medieval times and the knights and stuff of a bold or whatever. You know, it'd be a real long sword. No, they carried a short sword. Okay, they also carried a spear, but they didn't put that in here. But when they put the spear down, they weren't using the spear for long, and they were in real close fighting conditions. They had this sharp two-edged sword. And they wouldn't be, you know, like thrashing at people with it, but they would be thrusting. They'd be cutting. They'd be doing very close work with their enemy, okay? Trying to get an artery in the arm, in the thigh, maybe the neck, all right? For us, this sword is the Word of God. So when you are in the battle, okay, you're using the Word of God to tear down lies and things that go against what God would have us do. Kind of what's going on in our culture right now. I want to do whatever I want to do. Are you sure you want to do that? When you talk to a person who says, well, it's my life, I'll do whatever I want with it. Is it really your life? Did you give yourself life? You didn't give yourself life. God gave you life. And somewhere along the way, that life, whatever you do with it, you're going to be held accountable. But for us as warriors, we have the sword, which is the Word. So you need to be in that Word every single day. A little bit. Get in every day a little bit. Read it. Take it inside. Eternalize it. Have it ready so that when you're talking to someone, that you can give them the words of life, which are in here. This is the Word of life. A whole book of it. It would take you lifetimes to memorize every little bit of it. Start out by reading it every day. Put it inside you so that you're ready in those moments when someone comes against you, who Satan is controlling and he wants to tear down your faith, tear down your Christian faith and saying, well, you're stupid for being a Christian. You're not intelligent at all. Let God be your intelligence. Use His words. You can use them everywhere. You can use them at work. You can use them in your family. You can use them with your friends. When we finally get to actually be around each other after all this crazy pandemic stuff, now's the time for preparation. Read. Get yourselves ready to do battle, because you may get somebody to think, to question where they're actually going in life. Maybe turn around and accept Christ as their Savior. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be fantastic? All right, now we ask why the armor of God. And I've kind of touched on that a little bit because we're in a battle against the forces in the spiritual realm and because Satan is trying to remove us and make us ineffective in that battle. Satan cannot take away your salvation. He cannot take you out of the hand of Christ. But if he can make you ineffectual, if he can make you of no consequences for the kingdom, he's won. You're just one of those willy-nilly Christians, and you don't really open your mouth, and you don't fight against anything. You're just, you know, you come to church, and you do that, and then you go home, and the rest of the week, it's, you know, I guess. Okay, I'm not going to really do that. I'm just, you know, going to hang out until next Sunday. How effective have you been for God's kingdom? If you're a Christian, and I don't care what age you are, I don't care what gender you are, male or female, I don't care how old or how physically fit you are a warrior. God has placed you somewhere to be in the fight. Because in Ephesians, one of the things he tells us to do is to stand. Okay? I want you to think about that. Back in verse 11, in Ephesians 5, verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil has many schemes. He's been around since the first creation. Since God created this whole universe and this earth, he's been around. He's very intelligent. He's highly crafty. He's been watching human beings for thousands of years. If you think you can outwit him, think again. That's why you need the armor of God. To stand firm in your faith, in your truth, in your righteousness. Stand firm. For that evil day is coming and it is here. When people are going to say to you, "Why are you one of these stupid Christians?" What will be your answer? Where do you stand in the battle? Do you stand for Christ? Or have you sat down? Have you taken your armor off? Or maybe you never put your armor on. You're not doing anything. And you wonder why all these arrows are sticking in you from the devil. They're all over you. Your life is a mess. You're unhappy and you sit there and you go, "Why is God letting this happen?" You're letting it happen because you're not in the battle. Put the full armor of God on. Live in it, eat in it, sleep in it. Be ready at a moment's notice. Stand firm in what God would have you do. That is my message to you today. Stand firm with the full armor of God on. Because everything seems to be getting worse and worse. Well, I would like to end this sermon with a prayer. If you would bow your heads with me, and then there's some more things that we're going to do. We're going to have a song yet, and then the benediction, and then I want to let everybody know about we're starting up church again at the school where we meet. So if you would bow your heads with me in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the provisions that you have given us, not only in the physical, what we can see and we can touch, but also in the spiritual, that you have given us the full armor that you created to put on us so that we might be in that battle. And it is a battle, Lord. You have won the war. Jesus dying on the cross, you have won the war. Satan is defeated, but there's battles and skirmishes going on all around. He hasn't given up yet. He thinks he can still win in his twisted mind. He thinks he can still win. He knows that if he can keep people from putting on the armor, and giving the good news to somebody, that somebody that didn't hear the good news will go to hell. He knows that. And he's working hard at that, to keep Christians out of their armor and standing firm. So, Father, I ask you, strengthen every Christian on this planet. Strengthen them. Give them your power. Lift them up. Put them on strong two legs and have them stand firm for your truth. Oh, Father in heaven, it is your truth that matters. It is your truth that gives us strength. It is your truth that we must cling to, and cling to the Lord Jesus, to his garment, to his sash. Cling to it tight. Cling to the Lord Jesus. Feel his strength flowing through you by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. And in his name we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 170. 8-3.